Welcome to Shield Maidens of Missouri. I am Stacy Shore with my very good friend and sidekick, Lisa Panette. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Stacy.
How's your summer going?
It is perfect. It is wonderful. We're out of session, and now I've had a breather. I've been to Florida. I've been to Lake of the Ozarks. And, you know, the Lord gives us the mandate to tell and tells us to renew our mind. And that's what I've been doing. I've been renewing my mind, and you need it after being there at the Capitol.
Well, it was trauma because in over 12 years of being involved in the grassroots, I think that we would both agree we've never seen such blatant disregard for the people. And the fact that these legislators don't read bills, it's warp speed. They have no idea what they're voting on. And so I know that it was traumatizing for you, because when you can't keep up, you know they can't keep up. So even trying to figure out what has just happened, where will all the, you know, the chips fall when you get to figure out what was passed, that's where the trauma comes in. It's just the worry about what have they just done, because nobody really knows. I really feel like that. Do you feel like that?
Oh, I feel like that. There's no way that they know. So I could just pull one bill, you know, out of the pile, and I would love to do this, by the way, and just have a candid discussion with a legislator about it. And there's no way they would know what's in it.
No.
They just don't. All they know are talking points. That's all they know at this point, are apparent talking points.
And that's just so sad, because I think for us in traveling across Missouri, we started our speaking tour, which we said told everyone would come. We needed to rest our minds. And like you said, you needed to renew. And you've had a chance to do that. So in the past week and a half, we've literally spoken in front of hundreds of people, and I am so humbled and grateful and overwhelmed. The people of Missouri are so eager to learn what's really happening, and they don't trust their politicians. Would you agree that's the same feeling that you've been getting? That it's just, it's humbling for sure that we're getting to meet so many amazing people. But there is no trust, none at all, for the politicians in Missouri. And I call them politicians because Republicans really, largely, are no different than the Democrats at this point. They all are of the same stripe.
Yeah, I've had a lot of time just to reflect, and I needed it. And, you know, normally, we talked about this just for a minute before we even came on. Normally, I am just so, let's talk about the legislation. But I felt like this time, there were just some more personal heart issues that needed to be discussed on this podcast, just because of what I saw last session. And, you know, every time I'm in the Senate chamber, there is a there's an inscription laid there, and it says there's nothing politically correct that's morally wrong. And I think, how many of these things that our party, Stacy, the Republican Party, is doing that is so morally wrong, like not having video in the chamber, for instance, shoving through these bills at the last second so no one can read them. I mean, that's just morally wrong. And then, you know, they take an oath, right? And so I was thinking about this. So if you think about the oath that you take, and even that you would take if it was you and I before a judge, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's it. Nothing
That's right.
but the truth. So help me God. Why do you say that? So help me God, so that I can tell nothing but the truth and not leave out the details. And when I see these bills and I see the audacity of sponsors of bills that are not only Republican, they're not only Christian, but they hold other titles as well over that Christianity. And they come in and they want to champion a tidbit of a bill and not tell you about all of it. I think, where is the whole truth and nothing but the truth? And you're supposed to be a Christian.
Yes.
You're supposed to be a pastor. Where is the whole truth? And then what are the consequences of a society that acts that way, Stacy? Like, with God, with a society that actually believes in God, what are the repercussions when We have our Christians that's, you know, the duty, that's the authorization that they've been given, the authority that they've been given, and that's what they do with it. I mean, it's just, it's a heavy place to be. Mm-hmm. And I kind of coupled that, Stacey, with, so let's just take the life issue, right? Because this life issue is driving a lot of people crazy because right. they don't know what to do with the new Amendment 3. And they're like, I can't put that in the Constitution because it's killing some of the babies. And then the other side is, yeah, we've got to save all the babies that we can, you know. And so there's this conflicting interest and nobody even knows what to do, like in the inside of them, they don't even know what to do. And as I was doing Bible study, and I don't like to like preach Bible stuff, but I really did just feel like this was pertinent. And there was the time that in Exodus, when Moses, he went up for the people. And when he didn't come down for a while, Aaron basically said to the people, well, I don't know, he's not coming down. And so Aaron told the people, give me your gold and I'm going to melt it down and I'm going to make a small god. So that was Aaron, right? Like that was the right hand to Moses. And God was furious with him. And God said to Moses, he said, you know, I want to destroy these people. And he said, oh, no, Lord, let me just go down there, you know, and let me, you know, make this right. Please have mercy. And when he came down, Aaron, you know what Aaron did? Aaron pointed the finger at the people. So he was responsible for saying, give me all your gold and I'm going to melt it down for the God. But when Moses checked him on it, Aaron actually pointed his finger at the people and said, no, it's their fault. It's these people's fault. They did it. And you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Amendment 3. Because Amendment 3 really was, they were given, our Christian Republicans were given a choice. And Cindy O'Loughlin gave them that choice. And she said, if, you know, you choose what version, if you want personhood or if you want the exceptions. And they chose the exceptions. And what happened after they chose the exceptions, they started pointing fingers, mm-hmm. saying this one or that one, it was their fault, it was this fault, it's the poll's fault, it's MRL's fault, it was Cindy O'Loughlin's fault at one point until I said, I know better, this was not Cindy O'Loughlin. And so they were pointing fingers everywhere except for at themselves, mm-hmm. because they didn't have faith, Stacey. They didn't have enough faith to do what they needed to do, to put the right thing on the ballot without exceptions, and then let God do what God can only do. And God is the God that overcomes everything. He can surely overcome an MRL poll that nobody can see. He surely can. And it's like, why are we doing this? Coupled with the Amendment 3, with other things, like I said, with other bad legislation that we're passing, and they don't even talk about it. They don't even talk about the other bad legislation. When they know, you know, good and well what they've done in some of these instances, like having a little snippet of good that they all go around and brag about, but they don't talk about the 30 bad that yeah. they just put in there. And that is not telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help me, God. Mm-hmm. Help me, God, to tell the whole truth and be honest. And so anyway, I'm sorry that I know that was a lot.
I think it's very, very important. And just to add to that, what we just found out with this whole pack, her health, her future, is that one of the chiefs of staff, Tom Estes, he was a chief of staff for Rick Bratton. I think mm-hmm. it is incredibly dangerous what we just found, and that is that he has taken $20,000 since the first of the year to be a strategist on Amendment 3. So as he is a chief of staff, is in the legislature really pushing, and Amendment 3 is not a ban on abortion. Okay, so that's where a lot of people have problems, but he is pushed and driven. Sherry Kuttenkuhler, also a chief of staff. They are making money going around telling people, this is the best we could get, this is all we could do, so we just have to take small steps. But what I want to say is, when small steps, when you are telling people it's the best we can do, as a chief of staff, they have a lot of power to inform policy. But when people start to realize they're getting paid to take incremental steps, as they call it, to, quote, eliminate abortion, they don't have an interest in getting rid of it when they're making another, heck, $20,000 since January 1. That's a big payday for Tom Estes. And it's on an MEC report. So is the goal really to completely eliminate abortion in Missouri? I mean, we look at Missouri Right to Life. They fought us tooth and nail on the heartbeat bill. The heartbeat bill is what caused abortion to be illegal and totally banned in Missouri. We watched these same chiefs of staff and legislators for years and years not have the political will to pass IP reform. And what do we have now? We have abortion on demand through the ninth month. And I do blame it on them. I do. Because they had the power to fight on their feet and they didn't. So as we watch these people, these members, our staff members of senators and state reps get paid by these special interests that really aren't trying to completely eliminate abortion in our state, and they're making a hefty sum of money just partially doing that, because maybe in 2 years in another election cycle, or they'll want to push, you know, to take another little step. But it represents another payday for them. I just think that's concerning and a huge conflict of interest. And I think that should be talked about as well. Because I just believe that the people in Missouri are getting duped. And speaking of duped, what we're going to talk about in this podcast is Amendment 5. Because as we've been traveling Missouri, there is an incredible appetite and people want to understand. So if you go to the Substack, we have denoted and made it very easy for people to do their own research. There are videos there that we will talk about. The legislation is there. Stop listening to just the talking points and the ballot language. This is a bill with a very specific, well, I shouldn't say very specific, but it is. The intent is very specifically laid out in the legislation. So when people are like, well, I've already read the ballot language, are you a little bit alarmed that people think that's it? That that's all that, I'm so confused by that. Like, oh, I already know what the ballot language says, but there's a whole lot more to it. So let's get on with that. And let's just talk about, the first thing is, as we begin, I want people to understand we want the income tax in the state of Missouri to be eliminated. We want personal property taxes to be eliminated. We want the special favors to the lobbyists and special interest to be eliminated. We want to see Missouri's budget cut. Those are all for starters for you and I. I speak for both of us when I say those things. So we have no will to see the income tax stay in place. But the first thing I would bring up is, as we get into this show, you're going to be asked, do you trust them? Do you trust the same legislators who have basically allowed for marijuana dispensaries on every corner, who have not had the political will to fight? We have abortion through the ninth month in Missouri. Blood is on their hands for that. They have taken our utility rates as of 2025, and they have lifted a ban on construction work in progress. That is why your utility rates are going to go through the roof. We are paying in those rates for all of your public utilities to get to data centers. They didn't tell you that when that was SB4. Talk about their water rights. What have we done to people's water rights, Lisa, in the last year?
Well, the water rights, we had perfect riparian water rights. And I know we've explained this before, but going through it again for purposes of the data centers. Perfect riparian water rights are when you or I could actually ship out to China if we wanted to. But what happens is you don't have the corporations or the bad actors actually doing that, because with perfect riparian water rights that existed before two sessions ago, what would happen is if I did that, and I was a bad actor, and I shipped our water out. I was an end user, and I shipped that water on out to China or whatever else I did with it, bottled it all up. Then you were my neighbor, and I was depleting your water table. And your friends and neighbors over there were also having their water tables depleted. Well, at that point, what's going to happen is a class action lawsuit. And a lawyer is going to take that on. Why are they going to take it on? Because whoever is that bad actor is going to have deep pockets. Mm-hmm. Whoever is doing that is, you know, I mean, just fill in the blank, whatever type of corporation, big name, whoever it is, they're going to have deep pockets. And so they would have a class action lawsuit. And so that's why you didn't see it happening. That wasn't occurring. If you talk to our legislature, they would say, you couldn't ask for anything better. These are the guys that pushed to put us under a permit system, said that we had not only perfect riparian water rights, but we had no issues whatsoever. That it was, our water was cheap, it was abundant, and no one had issues. But they wanted to get ahead of it to make sure that there weren't any issues. So what they did is they put us under a permit system. The permit system is exactly the system that is causing all the problems in all the other states, like Michigan, because they're under a permit system. Now, in so doing, in creating that permit system, if you were an end water user, that the data center is, the end water user, they don't even, they're not even part of that permit system, meaning that it became legal for them to just basically export because they're just using it all there. And so they could consume all the water there without a permit because they're the end user. And anything 30 miles from the border is the same thing. So we could be shipping out to other states. And as long as they're the end user and they're 30 miles from the border and doing it, then also they would benefit now from our water. So what they did is they really messed up our perfect riparian water rights. And it's clear as the nose on my face now why they did that. Mm-hmm. And it was for data centers.
Absolutely. So was QIP, Construction Work in Progress. Mm-hmm. And we didn't understand it at the time, but we declared, or Missouri was declared, open season for data centers because of what the legislature did to ordinary Missourians that had no idea. So when they ask us to trust, we remember all those things. I would bring up in the last week, the Missouri Lieutenant Governor, he has called for more transparency. I heard him on 93.3 Real Talk Radio this morning. And his disgust is unmistakable when it comes to the lack of transparency. So the lack of transparency in the Missouri Senate, we are one of only two states in the country that does not release the video. They take video, make no mistake, but they don't release it or they don't live stream it for the public, for the benefit of the public. Why do they not do that, in your opinion, Lisa? As someone who's there every single day, why is the Missouri Senate fighting so hard not to release video for the public?
Then the public would not see they would absolutely see the games that are being played, how they're not in the chamber, how they're not listening to whatever's taking place, how when bad votes come in the way of a standing division, that means that you have to be in the actual chamber when they take these votes, and they're secret votes, and there's no record of them. So the way is to be there. And the people would see all of that. So they would have just seen the vote that they voted down. Your supermajority of Republicans in the Senate voted down having this video in the Senate so that you could see. But instead, as we know from Act for Missouri, that they were able to access by Sunshine that video footage, and it was blacked out. Because this is the lengths that they will go to so that you don't see exactly what is taking place and who is doing what. Because it doesn't fit with the narrative when they come home to your chicken dinner, for their stump speech to say, this is what I'm doing. And you're like, well, that sounds good. That right. person sounds just like me. Well, how come that person always sounds just like you, but somehow the legislature is never representative of what the people actually want?
Well, I think that's important. So what Lisa just said, I'm going to sum that back up. Act for Missouri actually performed a Sunshine Request, also called a Freedom of Information Act. They're there too. They see the videographers videoing the floor debate and videoing the committee hearings. So they have become very skilled at Sunshine Requests that are specific. So when there's a standing division, there's no record of that vote on purpose. Because when you're home, if you are listening by a computer or live stream, you can hear it. But when they say, okay, we're going to do a standing division, there's no record of that vote unless you see it with your eyeballs. And so they sunshined requested the video for a standing division vote about allowing videos in the chamber and in the committee hearings. And at the time the vote was taken, we have this on our Substack. At the time the vote was taken, the camera just goes black. And nobody can see how the standing division vote plays out. So you have no idea how your senator has just voted. So the question is, again, these guys come home and say, and we'll explain a little bit more as we get into it, trust us, we're here and we're going to do the right thing. But what Amendment 5 does is it the most important component is it asks for you to trust them. And we'll get into that in a minute. But we're making a case right now. Do you trust them? The other big headline with Lieutenant Governor Wassinger, he posted this on Facebook. Storm clouds are brewing over Missouri's finances. Since 2022, more than 3,000 new spending items totaling nearly $13 billion with a B dollars have been added to the state budget, most of which are pet projects driven by lobbyists, special interests, and career politicians. And he also attached a post, Moody's ratings lowers Missouri's outlook to negative. That actually was released just a few days ago. So let me say that again. Since 2022, 4 years, more than 3,000 new spending items totaling $13 billion have been created in Missouri, and it's not going to the benefit of the people. So, okay, and now I want you to talk about Scott Fitzpatrick. So our state auditor also in the last couple weeks is blowing the lid off of, we have videos on our Substack, of the fact that he has been warning the budget committees in the House and Senate, slow down the spending, make necessary cuts, we're headed for a cliff. This is not sustainable. By 2028, we will be completely in the deficit. So he's telling on them. And then in a budget hearing, committee hearing meeting that was on February 19th at 8 a.m. with the Missouri House Budget Committee, someone asked the question of him and said, how do you feel about Amendment 5? And his response was very clear. He said, well, it can be done. However, the legislature is going to have the political will, have to have the political will to say no. And I mean to almost everybody. Because if you don't say no, that rate will necessarily go into the stratosphere. So, okay. So we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves because we're not really dissecting what the legislation says. Mm-hmm. But I just want people to understand what we're about to tell you is that you're going to be asked to trust the same people who have taken us to this place that Scott Fitzpatrick is warning about, the state auditor, that your lieutenant governor is warning about. He's blowing the whistle. Is anybody listening? Do you think it's a coincidence, Lisa, right now that they have the legislature that's taken us to this place? They have this divine, most intelligent plan to help us out and get rid of our state income tax. Do you believe it's any coincidence that these things are happening at the same time?
No. No, of course not. And, you know, I mean, I actually have to talk about the other things. Like when we're talking about trust, we're talking about trusting. When we said no gas tax, no increase in the gas tax, they did it anyway. Mm-hmm. When they tried to give us toll roads, mm-hmm, twice now, we've said no. They've tried to tax our services, we've said no. So the problem that they have is we keep saying no, and they don't like to say no to any special interests. They have zero willpower to say no to any of the lobbyists and special interests. And so therefore, they have got to create a way and a path to get more taxes from us because we're flat broke.
Yep.
And so in this, they've created many avenues. This is not just one avenue, right? It's an increase in goods tax, that avenue. They're going to be looking at taxing services and any fees, too, by the way, are on the table. Yeah. So that can mean a bunch. We haven't even talked about that. But if you look at other states, there's plenty of fees out there, too, that we don't have currently.
Let's get into that. So the very first thing I want people to understand and hear me loud and clear. You do not need to vote to get rid of your income tax in Missouri. They've been lowering the tax rate for a few years now. They've taken us from 6% to 4.7% without a vote of the people. Okay, that's your income tax. They got rid of the capital gains tax last year. Thank you for that. But you didn't have to vote for that. So the whole thing about hurry, run, don't walk, vote out income tax, that's a lie. And so what they're not telling you is what we're going to go into next. But we have actually do have excerpts from what's been going on with your income tax. You guys can do your own research, but you don't need to vote down your income tax level, or you don't need to vote it out. They can do that without you voting for it. So, in getting into the legislation, Lisa, I'm going to read the first part. And again, all the research is here. And what it says, the first part, page 1, section A. Section A, sections 4D and 26, article 10 of the Constitution of Missouri are repealed, keywords, repealed, and two new sections adopted in lieu thereof to be known as sections 4D and 26, to read as follows. I'm going to pick up 26, okay? So I'm going to read it, and then I want you to explain it. But this is, section 26 is going to be repealed. This is what I'm about to read exists in your Missouri Constitution right now to protect you. This was voted on by the people in 2016, and it won by an overwhelming margin. And it says this, section 26, prohibition on new or local sales, use, or other similar transaction-based tax not subject to such tax as of January 1, 2015. In order to prohibit an increase in the tax burden on the citizens of Missouri, state and local sales and use taxes or any similar transaction-based tax shall not be expanded to impose taxes on any services or transactions that was not subject to sales, use, or similar transaction-based tax on January 1 of 2015. So we're repealing that. Mm-hmm. You want to pick that up? So people need to understand, we're repealing that part of that protection in your Constitution.
That's right. So that's going to open up to all taxation on services and other taxation as well, right? Like you just read it. It's going to be other taxation as well. But what do services really mean? Services are things like your car repair. Services are funerals. Services are medical. So if you think about how huge the medical bills are, the hospital bills, those are services. So it's down to everything like your Netflix and everything in between, by the way. And I don't find this even ironic anymore. But California, if you look up California right now, Stacey, they're actually doing a service tax as well now in California. And guess what's happening, though, because California is left, it's Democrat. And so the Republicans are squawking in California saying, this is horrible. This is a horrible idea. We shouldn't be taxing all these services. And it's taxation on services, and it's in layers of services. And it's just like, I would say it's ironic, but at this point, I don't know if there's any irony left.
No,
there's not. And it's like, okay, but we have Republicans here doing it. And it almost leads you to believe, does it even matter anymore who's in power? Because it seems like they just keep driving us to the same place, no matter who's in power.
Well, and I totally agree with that. More of your services. We talked about funerals, attorney's fees. When you hire a real estate agent on their commissions, you're going to see accountants, people that do home repairs, put in a water heater for you, pour concrete, put on a new roof. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. The intent is to phase out your state income tax. But that could take decades, and replace it immediately with a tax, expanded tax on goods and a tax on all services. Now, you do have to vote to repeal the protection in your Missouri Constitution. That's what your vote is really all about. Don't have to vote to eliminate your income tax. They can do that as a legislature, but you have to vote in the affirmative to allow them to rewrite your constitution. So one of the parts of your constitution is that section 26. And that's a big one. And this is what it's going to be replaced with. On line 7, state and local sales and use taxes or any similar transaction-based tax may be expanded by legislation to impose taxes on transactions involving any goods and services with respect to legislation enacted by the General Assembly means that the legislation expressly states the General Assembly's findings that such legislation that they're going to write and haven't written yet will directly lead to the reduction and elimination of the state individual income tax as provided in Subdivision 2. Of the subsection. And here's the kicker. And will directly or indirectly lead to the reduction of local tax rates. That's your local tax rates as provided in subsection 3 of this section. Go ahead and break that down, Lisa.
Well, I mean, again, it's what we just discussed. It's going to be lead to the end. I mean, it can lead to, we don't really know what this is going to do, Stacey. I mean, nobody does. We're Nancy Pelosi-ing this thing. So we're giving them free reign for 5 years to write it, and it goes on into perpetuity after they write it and pass it. So some people have the illusion that this is only a 5-year deal. It's not. There is no end date to when we would eliminate or reduce anything with income tax. So the assumption in my mind is that we're going to end up continuing on with an income tax of some measure, and then do what they call expand the base, which means tax you on a bajillion other things. That's really what it is. Increase in the goods that you're already taxed on, add all the services on, add any kind of other tax rate really that they want on, because there is no limitation to that. You haven't got into it yet, but it also is going into tolls, and it's also going around the Hancock, which is our great protection.
So tell people what the Hancock Amendment does, because in every meeting we've been doing, I've been asking, do you know what the Hancock Amendment is? And half the people do, and half the people don't, and that's okay. Do you want to give people just an idea of why the Hancock Amendment is so precious and probably one of the most cherished pieces of legislation ever to have been enacted in Missouri? You want to tell the people why?
Yes. So if general revenue is increased at all from the prior year, by either 1%, it cannot be more than 1% or $50 million, then it has to go to a vote of the people. So this is a complete and total protection for the people of Missouri so that they just don't get taxed to death. And it's just a wonderful provision. And so we would be going around that.
Let me read that part, because this is about the consent of the governed. that if you're going to be taxed, you can't just, the state, thank the Lord, cannot just arbitrarily tax you at will. They have to take it to a vote of the people, and the people have to vote for it. So again, with a yes vote on Amendment 5, what you were voting yes for is to lift the protections of the Hancock, which is known as 18E in the language of the legislation. So I'm going to read it. By an amount that is at least substantially equal to. What does that mean, Lisa? At least substantially equal to. What does that mean? Like, that's so ambiguous. What is, I mean, why do we even allow language like this in legislation that's so vague?
Well, because they, the, when I say they, the General Assembly is going to be the arbitrator of what this really means, mm-hmm. and they're going to get to define what that looks like and what it means. Okay. So we're leaving the details up to them. So they're putting out vague terms, and they'll say, well, it's not vague because it's revenues minus refunds. But revenues... is and the way that I describe this now, hopefully visually, Stacey, is think of two sets of books and think of the old mafia and how they had two sets of books and they cooked the books. So if they are, they have one set of books right now that all this general revenue is coming into, and they start siloing funds or dedicating them, and that means that it never looks like it actually went into the general revenue. Then it's showing on that first set of books like it never came in. And so they can show by siloing or dedicating funds like we're never receiving increases. Or they can show small increases when they're actually large. So this is the ability that they have to do that I say they can cook the books. The other side of this is refunds. So it's minus refunds. So if you look at the state of Missouri, we have tax credits. Now, tax credits are, it is not taken off of the general revenue. So it's not the tax credit itself. However, we have tax credits that are refundable and they're saleable. And so what people don't realize is then they actually get more than they owe in taxes. So a corporation could owe $10,000, but actually have more in tax credits. And so they would receive, let's say, $15,000 more than they actually owed in taxes by these refundable or saleable. And what would that be considered? A refund. Mm-hmm. And so the more that they gave over to their friends, the lobbyists, mm-hmm. the more they could drive that number down. Meaning we never get to a place where you're reducing or right. eliminating your income.
That's what David Wassinger was talking about in the 4 years, $13 billion being handed out like candy to the special interest. So your yes. own lieutenant governor is sounding the alarm on what you just said. But let me read this provision that will be lifted from our Constitution for 5 years. It says, by an amount that is at least substantially equal to revenues generated by such expansion, they're admitting it here, of the sales and use tax base or increase in the state sales and use tax rate. So that means the base, they're going to decide what can be taxed, and they're going to decide what rate it will be taxed at. And if such legislation is enacted within 5 years of the effective date of this amendment, so it's telling you that they're going to have 5 years to write that, that shall not be considered new annual revenue for the purposes of 18E. 18E is the Hancock Amendment. So what it's telling you is it's not any of those revenues generated are not going to be considered new annual revenue, because that would require, based on the Hancock Amendment in the Constitution, a vote of the people. So what they're doing right here is saying, we're not counting that, so we don't need your vote. For 5 years, we're going to figure this out, and we don't need your vote while we figure it out. Is that how you read it as well?
Absolutely. Yep. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's exactly right. So we would be suspending the Hancock in order to do this.
Okay, and then it goes on to say, so people understand that, so you're lifting that protection, and here's the third provision that you're going to be lifting the protection on, and nobody's talking about this right now, but it says, I'm going to go back, if such legislation is enacted within 5 years of the effective date of this amendment, shall not be considered new revenue for the purpose of 18E of this article, and shall be exempt from the provisions of Article 4, Sections 30B, 30C, and 30D of this Constitution. What are those, Lisa? Like, unless you look them up, you don't know what you're voting on when it comes to the Constitution, what protections or provisions are in the Constitution to benefit the people. What are we giving them by a yes vote? If people vote yes, what are we allowing?
So those are dedicated funds for the highway and transportation for the state. Now, I want to make one big distinction that actually wasn't in the other versions, Stacey, and the people kind of freaked out, and so they pulled it. But the other version actually had 30A in it as well, and 30A is the gas tax. So what they were doing is they were also providing an out there so that they could increase the gas tax. They pulled that out, and now all these portions only talk about the highway fund that's dedicated in the transportation fund. Why is that important? Because for one, it's a dedicated fund. That's the first reason why it's important. But the major reason why this is so important is if you look at the court cases in the state of Missouri, what's happened is the people of Missouri have voted no on toll roads twice. And they tried to go around them anyway. So I looked at this legislation. I don't have it in front of me, Stacey,
let me read it real quick. It says, the Missouri Supreme Court ruled that the Missouri Turnpike Authority Act of 1967 was unconstitutional, establishing that the state legislature cannot authorize toll roads without first amending the Constitution. This precedent was reinforced by voters rejecting constitutional amendments to allow tolls in 1970 and 1992, creating a legal barrier that currently prohibits the construction of toll roads in Missouri. So when we're looking at 30B, C, and D, I think there's a lot of questions that nobody's even talking about. Nobody's answering. They're opening that part of the Constitution, and they're going to say, no, that doesn't have anything to... Then why are you even including it in this legislation? Why? I mean, does it make sense that... Why are they exempting all the protections that exist in 30B, C, and D that open up the potential for toll roads or a misdirection of those funds? What? And talk about, is the toll considered a tax? Is a toll road considered a service?
Well, I mean, it's a fee, and it's considered a fee and a service. And what the courts have said is that because you have this dedicated fund already, because there's taxation there already, you cannot create a duplicate. And so you would have to actually remove these provisions from the Constitution. So it looks like to me, they don't want to have the discussion, but it certainly looks as if they're setting up for just that. And I will say, Stacey, I also found the legislation, which I was trying to look for and can't seem to find. But it was legislation actually that I had sent you at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And this was some years ago that a Republican senator had actually sponsored, and it was in regards to toll roads. And I'm just going to tell you, like, all of these things fit together. So they had this design build was in that toll road bill. And we can put this on the Substack so people can see it. Mm-hmm. As soon as I find it again, when we're done. But that also had toll roads in it, and it had the design build projects in there. Why is that important? Because they just now passed design build projects. They just did legislation. The
legislation. Yes. And I remember you and I talking about it on our podcast, and we couldn't figure out what it was for. It stumped us. Like, what's design build? And you went all the way back. and actually found where that exact same verbiage as attached to toll roads existed. When was that, 20 years ago in 2006?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was. And I'll tell you, it's worse than that, though, Stacey, because, and I pointed this out to you, it also talked about basically license plate readers. Well, what are we seeing all over the place now are these flock cameras with their license plate readers. And they went so far to say, this again was a Republican senator 20 years ago, and his legislation said that if somebody did not pay their toll, that they would have the ability to shut them down driving. They would shut down their driving if they did not pay these tolls. And it was like watching it all unfold together, all these separate little pieces that we're talking about that are on the scene right now.
20 years ago. So, that's crazy. Yeah. 20 years
ago. But they couldn't. They couldn't do it because of this piece in the Constitution. And nobody is talking about it. Like, if I was the attorney and I was arguing about how unfair this is and opening this up, I certainly would have brought this piece up, Stacey. And it wasn't brought up in anything, but I would have brought it up. Like, why? But you know why they didn't? Because it was the left that was bringing the arguments. Yeah. And they don't want to bring up the toll roads because they want the toll roads.
Right. So, toll roads, another big issue that people need to pay attention to as you're looking at the legislation, which we have a link to the legislation, you're going to see these things and they're going to make more sense. Because even when a senator has a substitute bill brought in at 11:30 p.m. at night, which is what this was, 11:30 p.m., it was introduced to the Senate to be debated and it had been substituted. The original version had been subbed. They have no time to read it. It's 11:30, working on midnight. And when you just see 30 B, C, and D, that means you're going to have to open up your constitution, figure out what those things are. You don't have time at midnight to call an attorney or an expert or a former legislator that may be a resource you use. They expect for you to perfect it right then and there. And we actually have the video from Act 4 Missouri at the very end of this Substack of the whole debate, so you can watch it. And they keep talking about it's midnight, we're so tired. But the point is, they had no time, because even for you and I, which we're pretty adept at researching this stuff, to go into each section and open them up and then study what the Constitution says takes hours. Yeah. So to think these guys can just be handed this legislation and be able to digest it at midnight and understand what it says when it's been substituted is insanity. And that's what they want. They don't want them to have time. They want everybody to be in bed. And they want to shove it down our throats and not allow anyone to ask questions. Just do it. And that's why we got this. So carve-outs. Let's go on to carve-outs. So when we talk about carve-outs, the only carve-out, I'm going to read it, in this legislation reads like this. It says 12 months from the effective date for legislation in which the General Assembly expands, because they know they're going to. They said in which the General Assembly expands the sales and use tax base pursuant to Section 2 of this section, each sales and use tax rate imposed directly by this Constitution. Remember, it's going to be in your Constitution, with the exception of the rate imposed under Article 14 of this Constitution, shall in the manner provided by law enacted, which hasn't happened yet, by the General Assembly, be adjusted in order to reduce the amount of tax in an amount substantially equal to the amount of tax produced by any sales and use tax base expansion. What did I just read, Lisa? What's the carve out?
Marijuana.
Marijuana, baby. So explain what that means. So they're like, no, that's not a carve out. Then why is it in this legislation? Why did they put it in this legislation if it is not a carve out? Can you explain what I just read?
Yes, so it absolutely is a carve-out. It's saying we're going to touch all things except for marijuana that's already in the Constitution. Now, what they will say is that there's already an additional amount in the Constitution above and beyond whatever the sales rate is. That is absolutely correct. It is. But then, as usual, like I said with my frustration, that let's tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And the whole truth and nothing but the truth is they cannot have any further taxation. And so that would be any taxation on services, use tax, any of those things that are imposed on anything else that's on the table, not with marijuana. And so there you go. There you have it. They don't get, like, they're saying we're going to carve out, they're going to carve out medical, they're going to carve out groceries. They're saying all the things that they're going to carve out, but none of that exists in this amendment. None of those carve outs except for marijuana exist here. And so that means, you know, this is a legal document. I hope people begin to understand this more and more, like what we're really signing is a contract, right? Like, these are the terms of our agreement. We agree to this. And so it's not what the governor says. It's not what a representative says. It doesn't matter what they say. It matters what does this document that we're agreeing to say.
That's right.
And the only thing that it's saying is we're carving out marijuana.
Think about that. But it's opening up our Constitution for Article 14 to give it an additional protection, marijuana. So this is going to be embedded in our Constitution, the protection for the taxation of marijuana, but not for any of the rest of us. Like you said, not groceries, not real estate, not medical. They should have done that. They're all like, well, the governor said that he's going to carve out. Well, then why did he not do it? And again, do you trust him? Do you trust these guys? In saying that, I'm going to go on to a video we've embedded on the Substack. Was when Chad Perkins was debating us on 93.3 Real Talk Radio. And he said, and we have a clip of it in the Substack, that all of the special interests will be able to come back and have a seat at the table to renegotiate their tax credits once this passes. And I just remember, I looked at you and I said, renegotiate. Mm-hmm. Did he even realize what he was saying? That these, all the special interests and lobbyists, after this bill is passed, they assumed at that time it would, will all be able to come back and they can get their carve outs then, because they're going to have 5 years. Because they're suspending the part of the Hancock Amendment that requires a vote of the people. So in suspending that, they have 5 years to decide what your rate is, who gets carve-outs, what things, what expanded sales tax on goods and services will look like. We have a video from him. We have a video of your governor, Mike Kehoe, saying the same thing. Once this passes, Amendment 5, then he calls them advocacy groups. We're going to give all the advocacy groups a seat at the table and do their carve-outs then. But why is that bad? I'm going to take you back to Scott Fitzpatrick, where he told the Budget Committee of the House in February, for every carve-out, the rate will go exponentially higher. So virtually, you're going to have to say no to everyone to keep the rate at a sustainable level, your sales tax rate. But he doesn't think they have the political will to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I think people should understand that's what we're looking at. When will this be over? Nobody knows. Did they have the ability to put a 10-year sunset on your income tax in Missouri? You bet they did. But they didn't. So when asked, how long will this take? I'm going to read this. This was a post made and posted to 93.3 just prior to our debate. And this is what Chad Perkins, who is the Speaker Pro Tem of the House of Representatives in Missouri, he is leadership. He said, and I quote, there seems to be a lot of experts on Facebook. Let me be clear. There has been no conversation about raising a sales tax in Missouri. What has been discussed is over 30 years, as the economy grows, income tax comes down. It is very gradual and nuanced, and it won't happen overnight. And if the economy doesn't grow in a given year, the tax rate won't come down. However, we do know, both in theory and in practice, that as you lower taxes, the economy grows. This is a historical fact. As the taxes come down, the economy grows. I'll repeat myself. Nobody in Jefferson City has any plan to raise a sales tax. Those on social media saying that this will happen are at best uninformed and possibly just lying to scare people for some self-serving political reason. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Chad Perkins, Speaker Pro Tem, Missouri House of Representatives. Okay, do you want to take that one?
I'll let you.
Well, here's the deal. Within 2 hours, he had asked Tracy Ellis at the radio station to pull that down. Too bad for him. We already captured a screenshot. So yeah. He is the one lying. And I think that they live in this little fiefdom of reality when they're in the Capitol, and they forget that the rest of us out here are trying to pay our electric bills, for our taxes, for our groceries and our gas. We're trying to make ends meet. And they get so used to hearing themselves talk and using their talking points on each other that they forget that there are highly intelligent people that are very skilled in reading and comprehension, who are reading the legislation, who know the only person who's lying is him. So they had to move away from that narrative that there's not going to be a sales tax. Are you joking me? We've just read it over and over again in the legislation. So I'm stunned all the time. I want to talk about Camelia Peterson from Americans for Prosperity, who is their hired lobbyist. Last week, we have the video and a hilarious faux pas. She told the truth. And she admitted that the income tax in 15 years... people will start to feel the positive. And then she corrects herself. Definitely in a year. But again, there is no plan to truly get rid of the income tax. And like you said, when we're not dumping all of the surplus into one, or all funds into a general revenue fund and paying out of one big bucket, but you know, with legislation that we will post a couple of examples, they're creating separate dedicated funds that will never see the light of day in general revenue. And if you vote yes on Amendment 5, and they have 5 years unfettered without the oversight of the public or the requirement of a vote on a ballot, they're going to do whatever they want. I mean, this is party time. If they win and they pass Amendment 5, we're in deep, deep trouble. Would you agree? I mean, am I over?
Oh, no. I would definitely agree. And, Stacey, I'm going to take you back to the toll, too, because I found the toll legislation from 2006.
Yeah.
It's SB 652, and that is Republican Bartle. I don't know who that is, okay? But it talks specifically in this language about being able to, let's just talk about it. Under this enabling legislation, the General Assembly authorizes a toll facility projects to be constructed upon Interstate 70 between St. Louis and Kansas City. The commission is authorized to construct these toll facility projects with design, build, project delivery systems.
Okay.
So it says it right there, and then I've got to say, like, the real meat and potatoes of this and how disgusting it is. The commission may use any method for imposing and collecting tolls, including toll tickets, burial toll facilities, billing accounts, commuter passes, and electronic recording or identification devices. The Act further outlines the enforcement mechanisms the Department of Transportation may utilize to ensure that motorists pay for using state toll roads. The commission may enforce the payment of tolls by using automated enforcement technology, including automated vehicle license plate identification, photography, and video surveillance. The use of such automated enforcement technology may be used only for the purpose of recording the image of the non-paying motorist license plate. photo monitoring system evidence, which shows that a motorist has failed to pay a toll, shall raise a rebuttable presumption that the motor vehicle was used in violation of the law. So then it goes on, a motorist who fails to pay a toll shall be guilty of an infraction punishable by a fine not to exceed $200. This was in 2006, by the way. Not to exceed $2,200. The act allows a court to install a device. I'm going to say this again. The act allows a court to install a device on the non-paying motor vehicle that prohibits its movement. The non-paying motorist may also have his or her motor vehicle registration voided until the toll and all fines are paid. Can you believe, Stacy, the act allows a court to install a device on the non-paying motor vehicle that prohibits its movement? I mean, if this doesn't tell you where they're headed, I don't know what does.
I feel like we are a pilot state for all of this garbage to see if they can turn what's considered a red state blue and have they think we're dumb enough to believe that we're a supermajority of Republicans when they're bringing us everything they possibly can that's so bad. They're not fighting for us. For all of them to say, well, if you don't believe this, because Senator Curtis Trent did this the other night when I was at a forum with him. And he goes, if people don't support this, they're Democrats. And it offended the people in the room because, again, he was not speaking fact. He was speaking innuendo about, well, all these states that have people doing so great, they don't have an income tax. And it's like, well, you're not comparing apples to apples, and you're not telling people what this legislation truly does. So all they talk in is these ethereal terms, but they never tell the whole truth. And the toll roads are a reality that we cannot deny. That is, they are, the language is embedded and it's dangerous, and it will rewrite the Constitution quite possibly to completely restructure our highway fund in such a way that toll roads will become prevalent. It's opened up for that based on this Amendment 5. I want to go on as we close, and I want to read a headline from June 24th, 2026 by Jeremy Kohler. And the headline is from St. Louis Public Radio, Missouri's governor is opposed to out-of-state funding when it comes to elections, but not for his own ballot measure. And it just talks about, I mean, it's a really good article, but what we have found this week. So we were speaking at an event Trenton. Packed house, full room. Those people are listening now. They're the most amazing people. But as we were speaking, there were palm cards being put on every single car in the parking lot by something called, an organization called Missouri Promise. We're supposed to speak tomorrow night in Texas County, Licking, Missouri. So we're going to do that tomorrow night. We're super excited. It's a forum, and we're going to present the concerns about Amendment 5 at the Lincoln Days in Texas County. And so we were told about 3 days ago, after the program had been set, that Uriah Stark had met with people on the committee and asked for the opposing view to be heard at this Lincoln Days. Well, I thought, that's interesting. Why would Uriah Stark, a guy who works for a couple state reps, why would he be going to Texas County? Well, then I listened to another meeting where hardly anybody was there, and I wanted to hear, you know, the town hall, and they introduced Uriah Stark again, who's paid by the state. He's employed by two state reps. He's also working for this group, Missouri Promise. So they're becoming more and more apparent. I did a forum in Barton County, and somebody sat next to me from Missouri Promise. So I want to read the first part of this story. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe has spent months telling people that the state constitution is under threat from out-of-state special interests using ballot initiatives to bypass the Republican-controlled legislature and enact major policy changes. The measures have included legalizing recreational marijuana, expanding Medicaid, and restoring abortion's rights. The argument is at the center of Kehoe's support for Amendment 4, a measure in the August 4th primary that would make it harder for Missourians to amend their constitution through a citizen-led ballot initiative, okay? But our constitution shouldn't be the victim of out-of-state special interest who spend millions to deceive voters and pass out-of-touch policies, Kehoe said in a video posted to social media X last week. Okay. So the issue becomes, in doing a little bit of research on Missouri Promise, they are a company that is out of Delaware, all right? They're a not-for-profit registered in Delaware. They just put $1.9 million into this ballot initiative, into commercials, palm cards, hiring people to go to public meetings. $1.9 million. Nobody knows who their donors are. It's completely dark money. How is this different than what Mike Kehoe says he's against? How is this different?
It's not.
It's insane. Again, and all of these hypocrites who say that they're pushing Uriah Stark, they're pushing a vote yes on Amendment 4. They appear to be just fine with out-of-state dark money. We have no idea who these people are trying to affect a vote for the rewrite of our Constitution. How is this any different? Please help me understand. I really am struggling with just the gross hypocrisy. Help me understand. Am I looking at it wrong?
Well, okay. So I'm sharing your frustration. How we started this podcast today, that's what we have across the board. I am really grieved, Stacey, with the state that so-called Christians that are participating in politics. I am truly grieved because it seems like there's no length that so-called Christians will go to protect the legislator that they're working for, the legislators, you know, to tell half truths when they know what the truth really is. It's just like you said, if it fits my narrative, then I'll use it here, but I won't use it there. I'll look the other way when it's something that I'm getting paid for. All these things, like, you have to wonder. I mean, it comes down to the basics that our founder said, right? This is only set up for a moral people. And if the Christians aren't even being moral, then what do we have left?
Right. Well, are they Christians at all? In name only. This is from the News Tribune. Mysterious group pours $1.9 million in Missouri's Income Tax Phase Out campaign. Last week, a mysterious nonprofit tied to Delaware poured $1.9 million into a campaign to replace Missouri's income tax with expanded sales tax, a high-dollar donation that's drawn scrutiny about who is bankrolling a plan to overhaul the state's tax structure. Missouri Promise, Inc. is a not-for-profit incorporated last year in Delaware, made the second seven-figure contribution to Missouri Promise PAC, the main campaign, seeking to convince voters to approve the tax proposal, which will be called Amendment 5 on the August 4th ballot. So again, what are we doing? I just, the frustration, and everyone's like, well, okay, these are the Republicans pushing Amendment 4 and Amendment 5. Well, that's different. I mean, you know, Delaware has better tax breaks for what? So we're basically, are the Republicans telling people to go set up your not-for-profit or your corporation in Delaware instead of Missouri? Like, bypass Missouri so you don't have to pay that tax. What?
Well, regardless, it still begs the question, why was a non-for-profit set up at all? Okay, for what purpose? for what was the purpose? So if it's this, it's just to shield the donors. And so I say, okay, if it's a business, then we talk about it being a business. So what product are they selling? What good are they selling? Well, nothing. It's a non-for-profit. So it was a non-for-profit set up for this with dark money. See, different than you and I, Stacey, that we're happy to show where the money comes from, right? Like anything that we would do, we wouldn't want it shielded because we would want people to know exactly where the money's coming
from. That's right. And that's where we are at, Missouri. We will wrap this show here because it's a lot of information. People have been so kind and so gracious and generous. Yes. We are humbled and feel like as we travel, it's so worthwhile because so many people are precious to us. Mm-hmm. And they feel like, I get goosebumps and I feel like I can cry. They feel like our Missouri family. Mm-hmm. And we're finding each other. We're coming together and we're unifying. Right now, knowledge is power. And people are grasping onto and learning how to listen to these debates and look up the bills. And I just can't tell you how impressed I am with Missouri. The legislature wants to treat everyone like a bunch of dumb hillbillies in rural Missouri and in St. Louis. Like, we don't have time. Listen to us. We're the smartest people in the room. Let us tell you what you need to know and don't look any further. But nobody's buying that anymore. We are telling you, don't listen to us and believe us at face value. We are going to give you the tools to research. And if you're for this, then by all means, vote for it. But once you are informed and you have the ability to make your voice heard with a vote, then by all means, invest in the research to understand what it is you're voting for. And that's what we hope we have done for you in this episode, is giving you the tools with the Substack. Go to the Substack. The videos we've talked about, the Missouri Constitution is linked there, the legislation is linked there, everything you need at your fingertips to understand what the legislation, not the ballot language, remember. The Missouri courts even said that the ballot language that the Republican supermajority was trying to get on the ballot, they said, no, way too deceptive. People need to understand what they're voting for. And that should be your first signal. They don't want you to understand. They just want you to be compliant and do what you're told.
And Stacey, I mean, I'm going to interject one thing. They were only asked to make aware of the taxation. So there's other deceptive things in here that the people still don't know that they're voting on because they weren't brought up.
Right.
So again, I say this opens up to tools. It's really going around the Hancock. So these things, the people still are not going to be aware. They are now being aware at least that there is a tax. Yep. That they're being asked to institute. And I would say they softballed that as well.
Right.
But at least there's a mention of it. Because, again, the Trust Us crowd didn't even have that in the language.
Nope. So we are the Show Me State. I mean, for those of us that have lived here, born and bred here, are generationally from here, and people who have moved here recently to escape the tyranny of the states they're coming from, we are the Show Me State. And I'm proud of that. And in this case, this instance, I think it'll save us. Because we are saying, show me. Show me where it says that. Because they're making a lot of incredibly crazy statements about what the legislation is going to do. But people are not buying it. So keep saying, show me where it says. Show me. Because they can't. Because they can't. We have a lot more to share. Like I said, we are on the road. Stay connected to our Substack. Our podcast is there. Subscribe. Subscribing keeps any time that we post anything, it'll go straight into your inbox email. So we are on Facebook. We have a public page called Shield Maidens of Mo. That's a public page. We have a private page with over 2,000 followers. And that one's Shield Maidens of Missouri on Facebook. So join either one of those conversations. But the most important thing is to join, subscribe to the Substack. It's free. It just ensures that anytime we put any information out, it goes into your email and we aren't throttled by the algorithms of social media. Thank you, guys. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for caring. You have inspired us. You inspire us every single time we come to a new place. And, I mean, Lisa, are you blown away by just the reception of people all across Missouri? It just, we're going to a lot of places in the next few weeks, and we can't wait to see you. But come be a part of a conversation. Ask your questions. You know, be able to discuss your concerns. And let's have the dialogue. It's super important, and we welcome it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you soon on our podcast. We will release the dates of when we'll be speaking, and that will be soon. We are also going to offer a webinar where, or a Zoom call where people can join us. And of an evening, we'll go over all this together. That date will be released soon. So we are excited to be able to interact with you. We look forward to seeing you in the coming days. And just keep on praying and believing that the truth will prevail. My favorite saying is, the truth is like a lion. Set it free. You don't have to defend it. It will defend itself. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you soon.